Let's begin our worship of God by singing to his praise from Sing Psalms from Psalm number 113 and sing the whole of the psalm. O praise you servants of the Lord, sing praises to his holy name. Let's turn now to the Word of God, to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John and to chapter 15. I'm reading at the beginning of the chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And so on. As we think of life and the way in which life is supported, it is a remarkable thing. We have the way in which life is supported in our bodies, and the way in which our whole system maintains life and gives to us the energy and provides us with a direction and with thought process, with breathing, with the blood going through our veins, the whole way in which our bodies are supported with the life that God has given to us. In the world around us, perhaps in a way that we haven't appreciated before, life is supported by the things around us and by the people around us. We are dependent upon our lives being supported by those who have been set aside and have given themselves to offer care to us. Life is precious. Life needs support on a day-to-day basis. As we come into this chapter, we have something like that in the experience of the disciples, the experience of the children of God. And we have these words in what we call the upper room discourses, or the farewell discourses of the Lord Jesus, as he speaks to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And as we begin this series of farewell discourses in chapter 13 at verse 1 and at verse 2, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It is the shadow of Calvary. It is the place in which Jesus is teaching them and instructing them with regard to his going away, and to that will be to their benefit. And as he interacts with them, we see in that very chapter that he continues to interact with them at the feasts, before the feast of the Passover. And we understand the way in which he interacts with them and engages with them through these days in his life, that he gathers during supper, the Last Supper. During supper, he arises and he goes to wash the disciples' feet. And we understand that in eating the Passover with them, they are drinking of the fruit of the vine. I will not drink the fruit of the vine with you again until I drink it new in the kingdom of God, in Luke chapter 22. And he arises and leaves the upper room, and they go out and they sing a hymn, and they go out into the Mount of Olives, where there were vineyards and where there were vines. Their thinking, their activities, it's all made up of the idea of vine being at the centre of what they're seeing and the centre of what they're celebrating. And right into that thought process, Jesus makes this announcement, I am the true vine. And from this passage today, as we continue to look at becoming a Christian in the Gospel of John, we want to see in this passage the life-infusing union between Jesus and the disciples. We want to see, first of all, that we have an embodiment. There is a body made up of people. And Jesus proclaims that, first of all, with regard to himself, I am the true vine. Connecting himself once more with the Lord, identifying himself with the Lord who spoke to Moses in a burning bush and who said to Moses, tell them I am that I am has sent you. And Jesus identifies himself with the Lord of the Exodus, I am that covenant God who spoke to Moses, and as that covenant God, I am the true vine. And when we read the Old Testament and read passages like Psalm number 80, we understand that the vine in the Old Testament experience of the people of God, that the vine was indeed the people of God. It was the covenant people. And we see in Psalm 80 the way in which God brings the vine out of Egypt. We see the way in which the vine is what the right hand of God has planted. We see the way in which God prepared a room for the vine and caused it to take deep root in the ground. God formed this Old Testament covenant people by taking them out of Egypt, taking them through the Red Sea, taking them to Mount Sinai, and making a covenant with them. And there is that song about the vine that we have in Isaiah chapter 5. The song I will sing for my beloved, a love song about my vineyard. And there's the song about planting the choicest, the best vine, fencing it around, putting a tower in it, and a wine press. God did everything that he possibly could for his Old Testament people. But alas, the vine did not bear the fruit that God required. When he went to look for the fruit of obedience, of devotion to him as their covenant God, when he looked for grapes on the vine, he found wild grapes and sour grapes. And because of the fact that that's what he found, that the vine did not produce what the vine was planted for, he removed the hedge. He opened the vine to the destruction of the enemies. And the vine falls and withers away. And in the face of that, speaking to the disciples who have been surrounded by people who belong to the vine and who are part of that vine that is withering away because it failed to bear fruit to God, Jesus is now saying, I am the true vine, that genuine, faithful person in whom the whole of the people of God are found. I am the embodiment of the church that God has sent me to purchase with my blood on the cross at Calvary. I am the true vine. And as God set the vine apart from Egypt in the promised land, so God is the Father who consecrated, set apart his Son in chapter 10 and sent him into the world. The Son is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one for whom God prepared a body. And he is the one who is also God of himself. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here is Jesus making this marvelous proclamation that as the Son of the living God who has life in himself, that the whole of the church is embodied in him. And that he, who is equal with God, is not only the Savior of his people, but they find themselves embodied in him. And when we think of the marvel of that proclamation, that the life that we have in the Lord Jesus as the true vine is the life which has its root in the eternal God, the indestructible living God, and that the life that flows in him through all who are in him is nothing less than the life of God. And so the Bible can say about the Lord Jesus that he is the root and descendant of David in Revelation 22. David has no life but the life that there is in the Son of God, the Mediator, the one whom God is sending into the world. And at the same time, he is the descendant of David, the marvel of this great announcement that he is the embodiment of the church. And he makes that so clear to the disciples in verse number 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. You are the ones who are growing out from me. You are the ones who are growing out from me with the life that there is in me. You are the branches. The disciples whose feet he had washed not long before he uttered these words. The disciples concerning whom it is said that having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Those who had followed him because they knew his voice. those who are drawn to him because of the powerful drawing of the Father. Those who came to him because the Father had given them to him. They are now the branches in him. And by that marvellous connection between them, not only are they walking with him, not only are they following him in this external way, but the reality of their experience and of their life as the children of God is that their life is found in him. And Isaiah speaks in chapter 60, the Lord speaks about his people. In Isaiah chapter 60, you are the branch of my planting. You are the work of my hands. Which leads Paul to say that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, a new creation, the handiwork of God has brought about this remarkable relationship between lost sinners and a holy Saviour who is God and who is man at one and the same time, so that, as Paul says in Romans 11, that those who are in the olive tree, they share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. And who says that it's not you that supports the root, but the root supports you. And if the branch, if the root is holy, so are the branches. And today we can say of the vine, and say of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, that they share in the nourishing root of the vine. The life of the eternal God is the life that is theirs. That's their living. They are supported by that root. It's a holy root. And because the root is holy, they shall be holy. The sap that flows into the branches is what flows from the root that is firmly fixed, where there is unchangeable goodness, where there is that field of unsearchable, unending food for the life of the vine in the eternal God. That's where the disciples are found. And that's why Paul will say, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But he says, the life that I live, I no longer live after the flesh, but I live by faith in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. His identity is now the identity of Jesus. He is in Christ. He is embodied in that marvelous union that's life supporting with the life that has its root and its spring in the eternal God. And today that's the marvel of the root and branch relationship between the Christian and the Lord Jesus. His life flows in them. With regard to him, they are saying, with you is the fountain of life. And as we read in Psalm number 87, saying with the psalmist, all my well springs are in you. What a great blessing, what a great privilege, what a status to have the status of being embodied in the person of Jesus, who is the head of the church. And just like every member of my own body, sustained in a mysterious, miraculous way, through the heart that pumps, through the lungs that breathe, through the blood that flows. So today, as a child of God, my life is sustained because my life is not my own life. It is the life of God in my soul, in my inner being. The embodiment. Secondly, there is the empowerment. The vine is here to bear fruit. The Old Testament vine did not bear fruit. But here, Jesus is exhorting the disciples. He is saying to them, in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you." Abide in me. Make me your settled home and habitation. Be determined to remain in this one place with me now and forever. Don't think in any way of moving home and taking up residence anywhere else. Stay at home. Abide in me. And we remind ourselves that this does not suggest in any way that there is the possibility of me being taken out of this new relationship. And we saw at the end of chapter 10 the way in which Jesus says that none of them will perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And indeed, they are so precious to the Father that no one will snatch them out of the Father's hand. There is that double protection which secures their place at home, inverted commas, at home in the body of Jesus now and forever. So when Jesus is saying to them, "Abide in me," he is not saying to them that their eternal salvation and security is dependent on what they are doing. But he is exhorting them to live the kind of life that demonstrates that they do in fact live in him, and that his life is the one which flows through their spiritual veins and works itself out in their physical bodies as they live life in the world. And Jesus himself goes on in verse 9 of this chapter to explain something of what that means. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." It's a reminder to them to show who they are by what they do. It's a reminder to them to prove their existence and status as the children of God by the life that they lead. And so in the same way as Jesus proved his relationship with God and he was in the Father as the Father was in him, proving that by his obedience to the Father and love for his name, so they are exhorted to prove, to abide, to show their love and their obedience. And to show their obedience and their love for him. Abide in me. He wants their behavior to show who they are. Because if the root is holy, so are the branches. And because Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you will recognize them by their fruits. The failure to do this will result, as we read in verse 6, will result in branches withering and branches being gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. That's what happens to those who by their behavior show that they are not genuine children of God. But you, my disciples, you go and have the assurance that as you live in obedience to me, that you will know the experience of my life. I will abide in you, and you will have the joy of that life that is supported by me. You will have that joy in your experience. You'll have that joy in your intellect. You'll have that joy reflected in your behavior in life. You will demonstrate day by day, walking in the light, as God is in the light, you will demonstrate day by day who you are. And today, God is asking us to prove who we are, show by what we do in service of God, in the worship of God, in life devoted to God, show that we are genuine children of God. Or else the fearful thought that my behavior and my service and my worship will be a contradiction of my claim to be a disciple. Abide in me. And that's where Jesus speaks of the empowerment that comes with the life that there is in him. As the branch, in verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The purpose of bearing fruit. God came to look for fruit in the Old Testament vine. He found wild grapes. But here is the true, genuine vine in the person of Jesus. And there is the certainty that the branches in this vine will be empowered by the life of the vine to bear fruit. And in this negative statement, Jesus is really saying that every branch that abides in me will be empowered to bear fruit because of the life that there is in me. And it's driving home the point that as the branch is not able, does not have the power or the ability to bear fruit from itself, sourced from within itself, in isolation from the vine, so you cannot bear fruit except as you abide in me. And the statement is to be a statement about the power and the ability given to the branches now, to the disciples now, to breathe out the life that there is in Jesus. The life that is now in them, because they are in Jesus, to be able to do what God has called them to do in service. To be able to do what God has called them to do in worshipping him. To be able to do what God has called them to do in being witnesses for him in the world. As he is going to lead them, that they are to remember that his power is still theirs because they ever remain and they abide in him. And today, God is asking us and Jesus is saying to us that when we are saying we can't believe, that when we are saying we can't continue to believe, that when we are saying we cannot serve God in this way and we cannot serve God in that way, when we are saying the forces against me are too much for me, Jesus wants us to remember that because of his life and because we are in him, that we can do all of these things. And able to say, like Paul in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. and to be able to rejoice, because my God shall supply all your need from his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. And because in this time of greatest weakness, perhaps, when Paul was wanting to be separated from the thorn that plagued him, the voice of God that said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." And that's the paradox of the marvelous way in which the people of God are empowered by the life of God because of their union with Jesus, that forever they will live and they will bear the fruit, because the life of the vine is pulsating through all that they are. And today, for the child of God, there is nothing less than the life of God channeled through the person of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, pulsating through our spiritual experience and our experience as the children of God. And let's rejoice that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The empowerment. And thirdly, there is the employment. Work needs to be done to maintain this vine. Work needs to be done to take care of this vine. Work needs to be done to ensure that the environment of the vine, and that the vine itself, is always in prime condition to ensure that the vine will maximize its potential for growth and for fruit. And here we have that exact provision. When Jesus makes the statement that he is the true vine, he adds on to that the fact that my Father is the vine dresser. He is the gardener. He is the husbandman. He is the farmer, in the words of James, who waits for the precious fruit of the land. He is the one who tills the ground. He is the one who farms the crop. He is the one who plants the seed, who waits for it to grow and to nourish us and nurture it into the harvest time of the full bloom. He is the vine dresser. But in this case, there is a special person. The person who owns the vine is not the kind of person who employs someone else and creates a post with a job description to look after this vine. He carries out the work himself exclusively. My Father is the vine dresser. The Father who delights in the Son and who has sent the Son into the world. The Father concerning whom Jesus says in chapter 14 at verse 23, "Anyone who loves me, the Father loves him." He is the Father who gave all of these children to the Son. He is the one concerning whom Jesus says in chapter 16 and verse 27, "The Father himself loves you because you have loved me." No ordinary carer, no ordinary worker, no one delegated to do this special work. He keeps the work exclusively for himself. because he knows what's required. He knows when to administer what needs to be administered. And he knows how to do it for the best of results. And so today, when I think of myself as a branch in this vine, called upon to bear forth fruit, I think of the special care worker who is my Father, and such pity as a father has for his children dear. I think of the father who goes to the prodigal son, and he saw him afar off. He felt compassion, and he ran, and he embraced, and he kissed. A father's loving care for his own loved children is what I find working in the experience of this vine to guarantee its fruitfulness. And today is indeed such a privilege and blessing that everything that happens to me as the child of God is never apart from his handiwork, from his loving care and concern, and from the sensitivity that only my eternal Father can have for my every need. And that's what works out in the transformation of the branches of this vine. It's what works out in the reformation of the branches of this vine. The transformation, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. He takes away from all of these branches the things that stand in the way of growth. He takes away all of the things that weigh the branches down. He strips aside everything that stands between the branch and the brightness of the sun and the rain of the heavens. He wants to ensure always that the branch is in its best condition to benefit not only from the life that there is in the root, but from the environment and the climate in which the branch will flourish. And my God, my Father today, he is working in my life as a child of God, and he is doing this with the utmost care. And even although that suggests pain to me, let me not forget that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And although my discipline at the time does not seem to bring joy but is grievous to me, afterwards it will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And there, the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 12, all of this that we may share in his holiness, that we may share in the holiness of the root of this vine, that we may share in the vibrant life of this vine, and that we will be transformed day by day in our experience and in our lives, and brought more and more into the enjoyment of my life as a child of God. The intervention of God as my carer in this vine, his loving intervention carried out with loving care for my benefit as a child of God, so that I may know more of his love for me, and so that I will love him even more. And in this, says Jesus in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. The Father looks down on his child and sees the likeness, the transformation, change day by day into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. He delights in the progress of the work. And today, let's not question progress because of how we feel. But let's remember that progress is based on the employment of the God who is our Father in ensuring and in guaranteeing that because the root of the vine is holy, that we shall be holy also. And the fatherly, loving hand that intervenes for the transformation of the branch of the disciple, of the child of God, is also the loving hand that intervenes to restore the branches that are in danger of falling away fruitless. Again, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, there is the possibility that because of certain conditions and certain events and exposure to certain things, that a branch may for a time not bear fruit. And here, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But rather, we would say, following the regular use of the verb that is translated here, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Let us think of it like this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. He raises up. He uses his loving care and his loving concern. He comes to the rescue of this plant and lifts it up in the sense of lifting it from the ground, of lifting it once more to have the support of the other branches, of lifting it once more to be in the direction of the sunshine and of the rain through which it is going to bear the fruit that it has been lacking, to take it out of the shadow of whatever is in its way, and to give to it not just every opportunity to regain fruitfulness, but to give to it the conditions that are certain to bring about that same fruitfulness. And today I give thanks to God that he is employed in this way, not just to transform me from day to day, but when I come to the precipice, humanly speaking, of falling out of the vine and of falling out of grace, which of course is impossible, but when I come to that precipice for whatever reason, that he is there on the very edge of that precipice to put his arm around me, his hand underneath me, and to lift me up and to restore. That as he has washed the disciples' feet in chapter 13, that so he will come down and rescue me and raise me up. So we have sung in Psalm 113. He raises the poor from the dust and sets him up with the princes of his own people. He is the one who says in Isaiah 43, the bruised reed he will not break, and the smoking flax he will not quench. He will not permit life to be extinguished. It cannot happen. He will not permit fruitfulness to continue. That cannot happen. In his loving care, he secures and he guarantees. And we thank God for that. For our embodiment in the vine which is Christ. For the empowerment that we have from the life which has its root in God. And from this employment that secures our fruitfulness as we journey on, trusting in Jesus. May God encourage us and may bless that word to us. Let us pray. We are thankful, O Lord, for your love. We are thankful, O Lord, for your salvation. We are thankful for the depths and the riches as well as the mystery of that salvation. And we are thankful for how secure we are because you have given us of your life to live for you and with you and to be like you and to be with you in eternity beyond in that place of glory provided for your people. Bless your word. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.